Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're ready to get into the Word of God this morning. And so, Father, as I begin this subject here for this Sunday and next, Father, I thank you for the honor and the privilege of delivering the gospel to your wonderful people. Father, I can't express in words why you've chosen me to deliver the Word of God. But, Father, I will deliver it in a way that I know that it will be approved of you and accepted by you to give your people because of your love for them. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know who needs this message, but I'll start it this morning and I'll finish it next Sunday. But I want to talk about the goodness of God. You know, most of the time we've been raised in churches where all as we hear about is the severity of God, if we don't obey Him. But I want to talk about the goodness of God, because it is the love of God that leads men to change. In Psalms 23, this is a psalm of David, and he says some great things in this psalm. Most of the time this psalm is used at funerals, but it's the wrong place for this psalm to fit. He talks about the Lord being his shepherd. And he says, first of all, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. Oh, I like this. In the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, I like this one. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I like this song. It says some good things for you. How many of you know we're living in a pretty negative world? Nothing in our society today is built on the trust of any kind. Just here recently I heard on the news that somebody obtained false credentials of some kind that got over the internet. And they're going to be facing severe consequences because I guess it involved having degrees from a college that never existed and whatever that's about. But even in business today, it's really strange how businesses now are geared up for no trust at all for anything. They have to check up on everything. Discernment has taken the place of trust and love. A man's word no longer has any value. It doesn't count. He must have proof of what he says about himself. That's why today, whether you realize it or not, your credibility is what we call, are you ready? Credit bureaus. That's where your credibility lies, in a credit bureau. Isn't that sad? Where back in John Cook's dad's days, a man's word was his bond. And yet, we don't have that option today. Because of this world being so negative, we have allowed the position that we've taken in church come from the viewpoint that the world's viewpoint comes from. And we should not do that. Because when we serve a God, we serve a kingdom that has not changed, nor a God that has changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want to encourage you today, at least this morning and next Sunday, I want you to take a different viewpoint in your thinking about your Heavenly Father. At first, He was a God to me, but He is no longer a God to me. He's my daddy. That's the spirit He put in me when I got born again. But do you know how many people do not know how to relate to a father image? Because we're living in a society of covenant breakers. More and more marriages are failing quicker than ever. Simply because people have not put no value on their commitment to each other. Unless their personal needs were met. I've found that when I have married, and it took me a while to figure this out, but my one appointment in life, if nothing else, is to serve my wife and her not to serve me. Do you know how hard that is? For some people, it's almost impossible. Because nowadays, when people get hitched and brought together in marriage, the commitment is fine as long as one serves the other out of their needs rather than giving them himself. When you go down the road of time with people, you find that if the relationship gets greater and greater and better, it's because both of you give up more and more towards each other. But you know, my Heavenly Father, I love Him so much because He has shown me through the Word of God what the psalmist said, David, in the 23rd Psalm. He started right off and said that his Father, the Lord, was his shepherd and he would have no want. He would have no want. This is a testimony of a man who's walked with God and learned the goodness of God. But we're not living in the same environment that David lived in. We're living now in a fast-paced environment that everything is centered around appease my flesh. And I like this. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. You know what that means? That means for sheep, that's a good place to be. In green pastures. And I like this. He leads me beside still waters. Do we have still waters today? That's almost a has-been. I like this. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Look at this. For His name's sake. So that we would be a good testimony of a loving Father. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, whether you and I realize it or not, we're in the valley of the shadow of death. This is not talking about when you die. This is talking about where you live today. This is a man who knew the heart of the Father. Knew His heart. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He says, my Lord has taught me not to fear. Not to have any fear. And I like this, for You're with me. I forgot who said this. Sometimes God seems so far. It was Kenny. Sometimes God's, you know, I don't have those far moments anymore. I'm more conscious of Him being very close to me than ever before. The problem is that when you're under the eye of God, your Father, you don't have the freedom to do what you want to do. When you're young in the Lord, somehow your mind puts Him at a distance. But when you draw nigh to Him, He draws nigh to you, and it seems like He's ever present, and you just can't get away with what you'd like to get away with. I like this. Oh, He wants me to sit down and feast on something good, right? In the presence of my enemies. Whew! You know what that's talking about? You might have enemies, but I got news for you. If God is over your life, you can enjoy even the presence of your enemies because of the table He has prepared for you. We know what that table is. And I like this. Your rod and your staff. He didn't even bring out what a rod and the staff really is meant for. It not only drives off wolves, but it also corrects the sheep. Foomp. That little hook on the end grabs some of them by the throat and jerks them back. But notice what he said about the staff. They comfort him. Oh, I like that. Surely, are you ready? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Some of you might not feel that. Matter of fact, if you study Psalms 139, someone told me one time, that's the all-knowingness of God. That's another psalm by David talking about his personal life. He said, I've gone to the extremes of the earth. And he found God was still there. He said, when I was in fellowship with God, He was there. When I was out of fellowship with God, He was still there. Oh, I like it. He says, you even know my rising up and my downside. And He was still there. He said, even when I have made your presence my state, you were there. But when I made my life in hell, He was still there. This is the guy that wrote Psalm 23. And oh, I like what this verse says in Psalms 139. This is where you find the verse, I know your thoughts towards me. You know what that word means in the Hebrew? Intentions. And you know, David was up and down, up. And down. He had a flesh problem. He was down. And then he had a spirit issue. And he was up. But God was the same all the time. He said, even when I didn't even know where I was going to go, when darkness was all around me, didn't make a difference to God. He was still my light and still my guidance. Whew. Same God. That's over your life that was over David's. Why? Same God. He hasn't changed. My gosh, I'm glad He doesn't change with time. Why? Because surely by now He would be fed up with us. No, I like what he said. Right? That's the psalm he said it in. Psalms 139. He says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. I can't even begin to count them. Whew. But we're living in a time period that trust and love is not the earmark of our generation. It's sad when I sit in my office, I have a special drawer, and I pull out these cards. And I thumb through them, and the wonderful words that are found in the cards. And, oh, you're the greatest pastor that ever lived. And none of them want anything to do with me today. What did I do to deserve that? Pastored. But I refuse to take on that kind of an issue with I don't care how many beautiful cards have been written to me and the people leave my life. It's not going to change my attitude towards them at all. They're still my best friend, and I'm going to think good things of them. Now, I didn't think that way before, but I read them now just to encourage my heart for the best for them. Because when you get closer to God, God then gets in your little world and starts changing the way you think about people and the way you talk about them. I hate that. I was thinking about somebody one day, and I was so negative on that thought. And God said, what you thinking about, Mr. Perfect? Forgive me, Lord. I like this. How precious are your thoughts. Intentions. That word means what I planned for you. You know, regardless of where you're at, God's plan for you is still the same. You're the one that jumps in and out of the hoops, you know what I mean? But God, He stays on course. Isn't that good news? Now, I guess the best way to say this, turn over to Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. Where is that in the Old Testament? Somebody says, boy, the pastor don't know anything about the Old Testament. You got that right. It's not where I live. So I have to go there and revisit it every once in a while. Jeremiah 29:11. I love this verse. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil. To give you a future and a hope. You got to write these scriptures down and you got to read them to yourself. Especially when you get down on yourself. I know that hardly very few of you do, but when you do get down on yourself, these are nice scriptures to read. Now I want you to write this down if you can. Because I don't want you to ever forget it. Because it's what God spoke to me. And if it worked for me, it'll work for you. He said, never question my ability to be there for you. Only question your own heart. I was really down on myself one day and God spoke that. God, it just seems like you're a million miles away. And He said, listen, never question my ability to be there for you. Only question your own heart. Only question your own heart. You know, that reminds me of 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 20 and 21. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. Whew. If our heart doesn't condemn us. You know, the reason many of us don't see God the way He truly is because our own heart condemns us more than anything else. Because built in every one of you is a desire to please God. But when you don't please Him, then your own heart will indict you. Because you have a desire to serve Him. There isn't one of you in this room would say, no, I don't have a desire to. Yes, you do. Just be truthful with yourself. But your own heart can make you miserable. Listen, so many see God unhappy about everything. They see Him angry. They see Him fault-finding. They see Him critical. They see Him demanding. They see Him upset. They see Him disappointed. They see Him irritable. They see Him short-tempered. But that's not the God that I serve. That is your conscience that's not serving Him. But that's not Him. Hebrews 12:2 says the joy that was set before Him, He could endure such contradiction of sinners because He looked
He's a God of hope. He's not short-sighted. He looked to the future and said, many will come to me as a son and a daughter. This is worth it for them. Glory to God. What a wonderful Lord. What a wonderful Lord. No wonder He established the Sabbath in my heart. Because He's such a wonderful God. Hallelujah. No, God is not reluctant. He's not grudging. He's not hesitant towards you. The truth is, God is eagerly benevolent towards man. He is not miserably tolerant towards us, but He joyfully celebrates us. Most believers feel if they would be in the presence of God, He would communicate how disappointed He is with them. God is not the accuser of the brethren. Amen. When He does correct us, His first line of defense, can anybody tell me? When He goes to correct you, His first line of defense for you is because He loves you. That's Hebrews 12:6. It's because He loves you. Zephaniah 3:17, New Living Translation said, for the Lord is your God, is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With His love, He will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful song. Luke 12:32, New Living Translation. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Most believers see God from the viewpoint of the Old Testament. You know what He was in the Old Testament? He was a God of war. But you know what amazed me? Even though He was a God of war, you know what amazed me about the Old Testament? There is more in the Old Testament, full of Scripture, than the New Testament, about how God loves man. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. When I looked at this in the intended language, the original language, copy of the original, but in Ephesians chapter 2, and I've shared this with you before, I want you to get a hold of this. In Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship. Are you ready? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Notice this, for good works. For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. But He's created us in His workmanship for us to walk in His good works. Hallelujah. Think about that. Yeah. You know, I was at Cabela's one day, and I went into the gun store, and they had this, what they call a gun library. And I went in there and looked at all these guns on display, and I noticed some of these guns were so meticulously put together, engraved, just gorgeous. And I looked at this one gun and I said, man, how would a guy have the patience to put that much detail and perfection into a rifle? It's so beautiful. I mean, I couldn't even conceive how to even change anything on this thing. And you know what the Lord spoke to me? He said, that's how I look at you. And He brought back this scripture to me. That so stunned me. This word here, I like this. He says, for we
are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. This word here, workmanship, it comes off the word poime, which literally means, in the English, poem. It literally means His entire creatability in Him. Wow. And He attaches that to me? If my wife had to look at me in comparison to His creatability, she would begin to wonder. Like Stevie. But notice this. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. This word good is the word agathos. It means the best of a person. In other words, when God created you in Christ Jesus, He couldn't add, He couldn't do anything to improve on it. He did it perfect. Wow. Wow. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in what He created. Woo-hoo. Can you imagine that?
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I'm talking about you. Can you believe that? I like what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He said, you can see your calling, brethren. It was not according to anything in the natural. It wasn't because you were famous. It wasn't because you were some noble. It wasn't it's because, listen, when you were called, you were created far beyond what you could be in the natural. You want to upset the Father, do a lot of good things for Him, and then when you have need of Him in your hours of crisis, then make an appeal on the goodness that you've done for Him. Boy, that'll get God real hot at you. You want to know why? Because His love for you doesn't come with a payment. It comes with the goodness of His love.
Right. Yes. Hallelujah.
I hope this message will hit you. You know, John 17:23, the first time I read this was in the hotel room on the coast. I was going to a meeting, and when I read it, I couldn't hardly believe it, what I was reading. John 17:23. Turn there. I read this and I was stunned. Look at this. Well, let's start with verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. You know what that is? Those born after their generation. That's us. Who will never see Him physically. Well, I had the opportunity to have a visitation for Him. Yes, I did see Him on this side. But not everybody does. That's an exception to the rule. But notice what he says. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. Boy, there's no inseparability between the Son and the Father. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Oh. And the glory which you have given me, I have given them. That they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may see, or may know, that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Can you comprehend that? And you're seeing more and more children born into this world. We're going to stop there. But you're going to see more and more children born into this world that needs to know of a gospel of love. And it will only be known to them through our love for each other. As He is in us and we're one with them, then we'll make us one together. And that's what I'm going to go on and continue on in my message. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, it talks about adding to your faith. And you read on through it. And it comes down to verse 8 and 9. And it speaks of those that are not adding to their faith. And he says the first thing that these people will do that are not adding to their faith is that they forget that they were purged from their old life. They forget that they were purged from their own life. They become very short-sighted. That means they can't see beyond where they're presently at. And when next Sunday comes, I'm going to put this message in such completeness for you. You are going to shout. You're going to be happy that the day that you were called, it was worth it all.
Amen.
Did you guys get something here this morning? Stand up, everybody. Now, before we close the service, just bow our heads a little bit. Father, this morning, if there's anybody in here that would ever question even their own salvation, Father, we want to pray for them. Mm-hmm. Father, we want them all to settle in and to be comfort in their walk with you. Father, we know that we can't do enough to be perfect. But Father, because of the perfectness of Jesus, the grace He's given us, Father, the best we can do is change and grow the best that we know how. And so today, if there's anybody even questions their position with you, at the end of the service, Father, we want to pray for them. If there's anybody here that has never received Jesus, we want to pray for them. Father, if there's anybody that's never been Spirit-filled, we want to pray for them. Father, we want them to have the fullness that the Holy Spirit has to offer. And so, Father, if there's anybody that wants healing, we want to pray for them at the end of the service. Father, we want to make the kingdom of God available to these very needs. And so, Father, speak to their hearts now. If they need to respond when we close the service, Father, may they come forward. We have altar ministers, and we will pray with them. We will communicate with them the kingdom of your dear Son, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Well, with that, you're dismissed.